We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Well, hi again, everybody, and welcome to the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented, as always, each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. I'm Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, along with longtime color analyst Stan Weber. And, of course, this is the fall, so the topic today is Kansas State football. The Wildcats are 1-1, coming off a loss at home last Saturday to number 18 Mississippi State, 31-10. And the Cats at home again this weekend to face UTSA, who is off to an 0-2 start. Our coverage on the K-State Sports Network will begin Saturday at 1 o'clock. The kick is just after 3, and you can see the game on FSN television. Well, let's talk about last week to start with, Stan, and I think there's always a fine line when you talk about what happened last weekend. How much, I guess, was it just a dominant Mississippi State team, or is this K-State team not exactly where they need to be yet? How do you draw that line here today?
Well, it was a bit of both, obviously, Wyatt. First of all, you got to give credit to Mississippi State. They've got a great group of players coming back, and one of the things that you say about sports, especially a physical game like football, is you're only as good as your weakest link. And Mississippi State has no weak link. Where do you attack them? That's a big problem for teams and like K-State. They just finished a game against Stephen F. Austin where they had an all-time Mississippi State record, 17 tackles for loss. So they have two defensive linemen, Sweat at defensive end, and a defensive tackle that are going to be playing in the NFL. Their middle linebacker ends up being the star of the first half, and that's probably the least focused area when you talk about Mississippi State's defense. So they're good at every level, all the way from front to back, and very physical, and have a lot of depth. So it was hard for K-State to get things going there. And offensively, Nick Fitzgerald puts such a stress on your team. His Colin Klein ability to run the football, Hill's unbelievable ability to break tackles and cut back and read holes, in an offensive line that's massive. So, you know, this is a very, very good football team. Are they going to be able to compete with Alabama? It's yet to be seen. But Mississippi State has a ton of returning starters, and they played with focus, and there wasn't a lot of weaknesses. But that said, K-State had their opportunities to do things better as well, Wyatt. And I point out that in the first 8 possessions that the K-State Wildcats had, 7 of them ended up being into Mississippi State territory, the last one being the turnover. So obviously they started with great field position after the interception. But even before that, only one possession did they not drive the ball into Mississippi State territory, yet they weren't able to push through and keep the drives alive. Why was that? Well, you can credit Mississippi State, but there's also missed opportunities for K-State. Receivers that were open and passes weren't delivered. Missed blocks and assignments just enough here or there to cause a little havoc. So I think Bill Snyder and his football team obviously is going to be looking inwardly and saying, we should have definitely pushed through and scored more points. There's no doubt about that. There's no reason why we can drive the ball from our 35 to their 40-yard line and then suddenly hit a wall and act like it's impenetrable from the 40 into the 25-yard line. That just doesn't make any sense. So K-State got a little rhythm on offense, but they couldn't sustain it, couldn't make third down plays. You can credit Mississippi State all day, but the Wildcats, don't worry about them until next year. It's all about what are they going to do. And right now, K-State has plenty of questions. They're not completing 50% of their passes, and the running game is not dominant, at least in the first two ball games. It's okay against South Dakota, and then you got your issues with Mississippi State. So, yeah, K-State needs to improve a lot this week. It'll be an important game, and especially from an offensive perspective, Wyatt, because the strength of UTSA, the Wildcats' next opponent, is definitely on the defensive side. That's the card that they're going to play to try to pull off an upset and do well. They beat Baylor last year. They competed against Baylor well last Saturday, and they do it by playing good defense. So K-State will have a challenge again, and they're going to have to execute better on the offensive end to get things going.
Stan, so many people have asked about the change in offensive coordinators and if that has anything to do with, you know, maybe the poor numbers in the pass game or just a couple of touchdown rushes so far this year. What do you read into that? That's always a tough one because you've been on the inside. I have not. How do you see that one?
Bill Snyder's offense is still Bill Snyder's. And no matter who the coordinator is, you still go back to look at his playbook, his philosophies, his strategies. I do think that he allows for such a wide range of philosophy and strategy that it gives you could have some differences. So I think that obviously you had different human beings calling the plays and a different team this year, different starting quarterbacks, things like that. So there are going to be differences. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, one of the things is you got to get a little momentum. And so far we haven't seen that. And no offensive coordinator really can express themselves until some things happen pretty basically, like completing greater than 50% of your passes. That has nothing to do with the coordinator. That has to do with breakdowns, with receivers dropping the ball in the first game, passes not being thrown that are open, little pressures given up by the offensive line. It's kind of a team effort. So K-State hasn't really gotten to a rhythm yet this season. So we really don't know exactly where their identity is going to be and what they're going to emphasize with an Andre Coleman. But, you know, right now K-State is not opening big holes up. And maybe when you have a Dana Dimmel in there, he may have had a long-term attitude that, you know, we're going to run the quarterback a lot, and that may have been something that K-State was going to do, but maybe not if Skylar Thompson is your starting quarterback. So I think it's just a up in the air, let it be played out. I don't think in the first two games we can point to that as being a big differential, Wyatt. I just think that they need to find themselves, get some momentum, and then we'll see what part of the playbook Andre Coleman wants to focus in on. Sure, it's going to be a little bit different, but this year's team's also different than last year.
All right, let's talk about the quarterback situation a little bit. Going into the year, of course, it was a tightly contested battle between Skylar Thompson and Alex Delton. To the normal fan, it seems like there has been some separation where Skylar has maybe a little bit more of the playing time and the go now. Why? And tell us what you think of that.
Well, I think that K-State was trying to figure out exactly how they want to function at the quarterback position. And Coach Snyder has said all along that he would like to have a starter. Doesn't mean the other guy wouldn't earn playing time, wouldn't sure. be substituted in for. But they didn't want to go into the season and redefine how K-State plays quarterback. Like, hey, we're going to have three series each, or we're going to run these plays for Alex Delton and those plays for Skylar Thompson. I don't think that was ever the focus of where they wanted to go, even at the start of the year. I think that they decided, it was very close, very hard, but I think they decided that Skylar Thompson was the starting quarterback. And the reason why Alex Delton has been in getting into games is because there are opportunities to maybe create a new momentum pattern. K-State hasn't hit on all cylinders on offense yet. So I think that both games that when Skylar Thompson came out and Alex Delton went in, it was not a planned decision by the coaching staff to say, oh, he's going to come in at this point in the game or at this series or with this strategy. I just think that they had a starter in Skylar, and when things didn't go, you know, as well as they would like and move the ball the way they'd like and score touchdowns, they go, let's give Alex Delton a chance, because remember, they're very, very close. So I think there's less distinction now than a lot of people may think. I think they had that distinction very early that Skylar Thompson was the starting quarterback. It was very close, but once they decided, I think they want to go that way. So when will they use Alex Delton? There may be a certain package here or there, but I still think it's a momentum thing. Coach Snyder talked about it this week to say, if a quarterback is playing well and the team is functioning at a high level, then you don't put your backup in. But he has started early in his time at K-State. We learned that right when he came to K-State that he looks at the quarterback position not much different than a lot of other receivers, like receivers or other positions, in the fact that if you're not doing things at the highest level, then they may give the guy who's worked so hard and is very close a chance to do things as well. So I think that here we get into week three, and everyone seems to think that we're sorting things out tremendously, but I don't think it's much different. If Skylar Thompson would have played great and the team would have scored touchdowns instead of field goals against South Dakota, they would have had 28 or 35 points at the end of the first half. I think he would have stayed in the game and played a lot. That doesn't mean that Delton can't get in there, but Skylar Thompson has a chance to be the starting quarterback, but you've got to get things going. And it's not just him, it's the whole team. And they're just searching right now for some success on offense.
Kansas State at home this weekend to take on UTSA, and we'll talk about the Roadrunners here in just a moment. But one question about the defense before we move away a little bit from Kansas State. Me personally, I thought last week, even in defeat, we saw some pretty good performances. One guy that I thought played really well was Walter Neal, the Wildcats nickelback. I know you've studied tape. I know you've watched this young man very closely. How did he play, and how well is he playing a couple of games in? Because it's such an important part of K-State's defense.
Well, Walter Neal, I thought, a great compliment after the first game against South Dakota as a brand-new starter was, I hardly remember him
exactly.
In live action. There's a lot of things going on, Wyatt, as you know, and we as broadcasters kind of have to watch the ball a little bit more than you'd like. There's other things that are going on that you'd love to study, but we finished the game. I left the stadium after the win against South Dakota, and I go, well, I don't remember Walter Neal. And I go, that's a good thing. that means at that slot cornerback position, he's not making mistakes. He's not getting beat. Nothing obvious is standing out. And that's a good way to play defense, just quietly take care of your job. I thought he continued on, and it's a weird evaluation when you look at Mississippi State. He and the whole defense really did a lot of good things and didn't do a lot of awful things. It weren't a lot of plays where you just go, oh, man, that was bad. There are a few missed tackles here or there. You know, the running with physicality that we saw from Hill made it hard for K-State to tackle. So maybe you could give a big minus there. But much of the game, I said, that's not too bad. That's not, you know, I'm not going to downgrade too many guys on that play. And yet Mississippi State was still able to move the football, score some points. Isn't it weird that we're talking about a 500-yard offensive day for Mississippi State and not just – shaking your head from a defensive point of view. Mm-hmm. I just know how hard it is, Wyatt, to stop an offense that's running that way with that kind of diversity. There's diversity in the running game. There's quarterback running game, superstar quarterback running game, and the offensive line's very good. They put you in one-on-one situation. So on a day where K-State gave up more than 500 yards and you usually would just be going complete thumbs down, I didn't really feel that way. And K-State's offense didn't keep the ball as long as they normally might. And that puts more stress on the defense as well. So I guess it's a weird day to evaluate the defense. You can't be super excited mm-hmm. that they did great things, but I'm not down on what the defense did. I thought it was a very solid performance, and they showed some things in the ball game, something to build on, I guess. It's not a winning performance because they lost 31-10. That's a team game, but it's something where I think the defense is continuing to grow and play better, and I'm not changing that mindset after watching them play Mississippi State.
The Wildcat Weekly Podcast is presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. Also by Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. It's the Wildcat Weekly Podcast with Wyatt and Stan, and we are getting you set now for Saturday's home game against the Roadrunners of UTSA. Stan, you mentioned a little while ago that this team, despite an 0-2 start, has been fairly decent defensively, and I think it's pretty obvious why. If you look at this team, they basically have about five starters back on defense, and three of them are on that defensive front with Banks, Strong, and Baker. I think, is that where it starts?
Yeah, well, they're good there, and their linebackers are active, and so,
yeah.
And the defensive secondary, they'll play five most of the time in modern football. they may not be guys who are dominant, but there's really no major weaknesses. And they devise coverages that are very interesting, Wyatt. They mix things up a little differently than other teams. They may have a tight man-to-man on one side and then have a zone coverage on the other. And they'll have guys run two different positions after the ball snapped and try to throw you completely off with the coverage that they're running. And they're very willing to bring a blitz. And we saw last week that Mississippi State, who loves to blitz as much as anybody in the country right now, will bring the heat. And watching the tape, you'll imagine UTSA watching the tape of Mississippi State and seeing the pressure they were able to put on the pocket for the Wildcats and how much trouble that caused. Coach Snyder talked about a lot after the ball game, how they were able to collapse the pocket and keep the quarterbacks tucked in there and made it hard to see. UTSA will try some of the same things, but they do have a good front seven. Last year, they're one of the better defenses in the country, and they were a good football team last year. This year, they have a new quarterback. They're reloading, trying to figure out which quarterback they're going to use, and there's some question marks on offense. They haven't got things going completely, but on defense, they've been putting up a heck of a fight, and a lot of people may say, well, look at the points they're giving up, but you also must watch pick sixes, fumble returns, and things that weren't on the defense, Wyatt, and look at the positions they've been put in. The defense really has done a good job for UTSA. That's where they're going to lean. And they're one of only two programs that are going to start the season out in the whole country by playing three FBS non-conference opponents who are in the Power 5 conference. So UTSA is well-trained. And you may think, well, they're 0-2, but you've got to go back and study their games. Everything went wrong in the first 5 minutes against Arizona State. I mean, everything. And Herm Edwards is the new coach. Mm-hmm. And so it looked awful because they're behind 14-0. They had no momentum. And ASU was all excited with a new coach and a home game. But after that, they settled down and didn't play that bad. Against Baylor, they beat Baylor last year. And this year, the game was pretty close. In the second half, they were within 7 points. And they do it by playing good defense. So this is a game where K-State's going to have focus. There's no time to waste. You only have 12 games in a season. You've already played 1/6 of your regular season, 2 games. And K-State needs to improve this week. West Virginia is not very far down the line on the road. But if you start thinking that way and bringing that up in your mind, if you're a player or coach, you're going to be in trouble because you need to improve this week and you need to take care of business. It's not only about winning the ball game; it's about winning and getting better because Big 12 conference play is right around the corner.
Well, let's talk about that briefly, and we'll remind folks again, our coverage Saturday of K-State football begins at 1 o'clock on the K-State Sports Network. The Wildcats, it's been announced this week that they'll play in Morgantown next week, and that will be a 2:30 Central Time kick. But news this week, because of that big hurricane hitting the East Coast, that West Virginia's game at North Carolina State has been canceled. And probably, they say probably, will not be rescheduled. That's a tough one, Stan, I think, because that was probably going to be one of the better matchups in all of college football this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Dave Doran's done a great job with North Carolina State. They'd have a home game, and West Virginia is working their way up in the polls and in everyone's mind about, hey, maybe they are a top 10 team. They've played a tough schedule, and they've done well. How's that going to affect them this week? Now it's all focused on K-State. Once they get a chance to go through the whole process of not playing this week, it's a little bit of a shock to the system for the West Virginia players. You get all fired up, you go through your routine, and suddenly they say you're not playing. But it's basically turning into a bye week for West Virginia, so even more focus on K-State will make that game even harder. Hate to hear about this, but every year we got the hurricane season right at the start of football season, Wyatt, and as you know, this is real life issues that we're dealing with, and it is always unfortunate when it affects the football schedule. More unfortunate that it's affecting people's lives, and we start out with this part of the year, we end up with this. We start with the hot weather, and we end up in the snow, and we're not. You know, it's hard to believe how football season rolls through. But right now, it is hurricane season, and hopefully, North Carolina State ends up being okay. You know, they got a lot more issues than just missing a football game.
Yeah, no question. Well said. Three quick things before we wrap up the weekly podcast here. TCU and Ohio State in Arlington this weekend. Lots of pressure on Sean Robinson, that young but talented Frog quarterback. Do they have any chance in this game at all?
They have some chance. You know, you wouldn't make it a high-level chance just because Ohio State has so much talent. But they've also been in kind of a weird situation. Obviously, Urban Meyer still not back. And I think they may feel a comfort level, like we're fine without him. Well, you know what? They haven't been pressured at all in their first two games. Oregon State, Rutgers, that's nothing like TCU. And, oh, by the way, even though it's called a neutral site game, it's not that many miles away from TCU's campus in Fort Worth to Arlington, which is right next door, the neighboring city, where the AT&T Stadium and the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, where they play. So this is going to be a real home environment for TCU. I think TCU will be able to shock Ohio State a little bit with the strategy they use, how smart they are on defense with Gary Patterson, how fast guys like Turpin are on the offensive end. And we'll see if Ohio State's focused. It's all about Ohio State. You know, if they're focused and ready to play, then they've got the players, and they should raise it up to another level to be able to hold off TCU. But if they get any complacency about them, and that could very well happen, this is where Urban Meyer could come in handy. You know, the old coach who's able with experience to go, this may look like an easy win. It may look like a neutral site and a big, you know, look up at the scoreboard and see how cool it is to play in AT&T Stadium. You better watch out because these Horned Frogs know how to play and they're not intimidated. So I'll be interested to see how Ohio State plays. That'll define the game. And if they mess around, they could get beat.
Yeah. Well, it's weird to say this, but Kansas won on the road last week, snapping that long, long road losing streak, and now at home this week against Rutgers. Can they make it two in a row?
Yeah, I think they're the favorite. Rutgers got quarterback issues, just got run over by Ohio State. That's not good. It's not been a good fall for Rutgers at all. So I think Kansas is going to have some momentum. They'll actually have the crowd that's on their side. I thought it was best, saying last week going into the game, that I thought it was best that they were hitting on the road. I think the being around the negativity that was there after they lost in overtime to Nichols wasn't good. It was better for the football team to go, and now they have a freshman running back that they're excited about. And I really think Kansas is going to mess up if they don't win this game. They got a big chance to be 2-1, catch a little momentum, and then get ready to go to Baylor next week. So the Nichols loss obviously was a stubbing of the toe for Kansas. They had a big chance to be 3-0. But even winning a game on the road, first since 2009 when they won at UTEP, ending the longest losing streak on the road in college football history, 46 games, that was a shot of confidence. And I think David Beatty and the team will have momentum this week, and that should work very well for them against Rutgers.
And then finally, I have to ask you about Oklahoma at Iowa State. Oklahoma has been dominant so far, but a real tough blow for them last week, losing Rodney Anderson for the season with a knee injury. What's the effect of that as you see it?
He's a dominant player, Wyatt, and you can't ever discount the fact that you lose a dominant player. But until otherwise stated, I don't think it'll have a big effect on Oklahoma right now. I think football is a big momentum game, and if you can keep the momentum, you look past some warts and some things you have around your program. And right now I think Oklahoma's hitting on all cylinders. So until proven otherwise, I think they'll just roll right on and act like it didn't matter. Again, it could matter because he's such a good player, but they got other people who can step up. And Kyler Murray is playing so well at quarterback. Things are going well. This is a interesting place to go play, though. Iowa State is a tough place for opponents to play, and we'll see what kind of fight they have. Obviously, they have not had a lot of good luck having that rain out, lightning out game that canceled the game against Northern Iowa. So then he went on the road and didn't score many points. Quarterback got injured. Hopefully not too bad, but they lose the game at the University of Iowa, and now here they are playing Oklahoma. So we'll see what Iowa State has. I think it could be a dangerous game for Oklahoma, but as of right now, they look like they should be in a college football playoff. Until stated otherwise, yeah, I'm going to say I believe in Oklahoma, no matter if they have Rodney Anderson or not.
The other games in the league, Duke will be at Baylor. You have Boise State at Oklahoma State, and Texas will host USC. Texas Tech is at home against Houston. Well, that's going to wrap up our weekly podcast presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. Our Wildcat coverage Saturday begins at 1 o'clock on the K-State Sports Network. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks for listening to the Wildcat Podcast.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.